We are so blessed this morning. Yes, yes, yes. We are so blessed to have Teen Challenge with us this morning. And we want to, you didn't come to hear me this morning, you came to hear them. And without further ado, I want to introduce the program director. His name is Josh. If you'd give him a warm welcome this morning.
All right, good morning, church. How we doing? All right, is it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? All right, I just want to start off by saying, Pastor Jeff and Jody, just thank you so much for having us. Pioneer Christian Fellowship, thank you so much for just being a great partner with Buffalo Don't Teen Challenge. You don't understand how much it means to have such a strong partner for the ministry, for you to help us walk out what God has called us to do, not just with your prayers, not just finance, just everything. It is such an honor and such a privilege to come back here every year. And like Pastor said, my name is Josh Collado. I'm the program supervisor of Buffalo Don't Teen Challenge. And I just love coming back to this church. I love when you walk in and you're greeted, not just with a handshake. You guys want to hug us and love up on us with the joy of the Lord. And we just love that. So Buffalo Don't Teen Challenge, if you don't know, and I know most of you know, but we are 9 to 12 month residential discipleship program. We don't like to use drug and alcohol program. We're a discipleship program because we teach men of God what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only thing that has proven to set an individual free from the bondage that they're in. So we are located in the heart of the Fruit Belt section of Buffalo, New York, right by the hospital. It's a 35-bed facility, and we have the guys go through classes and everything like that, but that's where we structure their lives. And the program of Teen Challenge started a long time ago, over 60 years ago, and it started by a country preacher named David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson was at home, and he had I believe it was a Lifetime magazine that came in there, and he's reading this, and then on the cover of the magazine was boys on trial for they killed a polio victim in Central Park. And in this picture, in the hand-drawn court picture, he saw the desperation in their eyes, and he saw that they needed a savior. They needed to find hope. They needed something. So what he did next is probably what most of us would never do, and it's sad, but he got rid of his TV, put it to the side of the road, and the time he spent watching TV, he used that to pray and to seek the Lord, and he believed the Lord told him to go to New York. How many would put the TV for a Bills game on the road? All right, I'm a Jets fan, so I'm sorry, guys. I know. It's all right. I know. I need a lot of prayer. Anyway, so he put it on the side of the road, and he decided to go to New York City. And when he went to New York City to try to help these boys, what he saw, there was a picture of him in the magazine, and he got kicked out of the courtroom, and it said, Bible-wielding preacher kicked out of New York City courthouse. So he went back to Pennsylvania, and he felt defeated. He felt like he just lost what God has told him to do. And then through counsel from his father and from his grandparents, the people around, they said, don't give up if you believe that God has put this on your heart. So, I mean, how many know there's a lot of times that we want to stop what we're doing and we want to give up, but we got to press in sometimes. We got to labor in prayer, labor in counsel, labor in his word to figure out what God wants us to do. And because of his obedience, because of one man's obedience, over the last 60 years, there's over 300 centers in the United States. There's over 1,200 centers worldwide of Teen Challenge. And because of one man's obedience and faithfulness, there is miracles, over 20 miracles sitting here this morning, right here this morning. So that is what Teen Challenge is all about. Just a little update. You know, we obviously we're still kind of going through this whole pandemic, and over at Teen Challenge, and I know you guys, same thing. It's all in the world, and just a little update of what we're doing. You know, we've partnered with Roswell Park, and they've been they're influential with Teen Challenge, and they're going to be redoing a brand new kitchen for us, a commercial kitchen. They called up, they talked to our director, Dave Beniak. They partnered, they said, you don't have to do anything. We'll get permits, workers, we'll gut it, we'll clean it, and we'll set it up just for you guys for free. They're doing everything for us. And the thing is, sometimes we look at that, right, the pandemic, and we're like, how are we going to, no money's coming in, and we think in our mind, but God's like, look, I got a plan. Don't worry, it's going to happen. And he took care of us. So we're going to do that, and then come January, we're going to be trying to redo our men's, one of our bathrooms. It's on one of our rooms. It's one of our largest bathrooms. And that's the next project that we're going to be doing, and that's going to come January. And we know God's going to come through. We know God's going to come through and help us with that. So without further ado, I'm going to have the Buffalo Don't Teen Challenge Choir come up. And if we can we minister with you guys with song and testimony? And as they come up, I just want to let you guys know there is a table in the back. There is stuff that they are selling, but that's not important. What's important is this pamphlet. This pamphlet has phone numbers, addresses of all the teen challenges in New York. And this is what saves a life, is just take one of these. You don't know if it's a coworker or a family member. Take one of these, put this in your Bible. Just as this new year, we open up Rochester Teen Challenge. So Rochester Teen Challenge is established. The doors will be open, I think, in a couple months. But they're plugging away, getting it ready. And it's going to be a dual facility. It's going to be men and women. So God is on the move in New York Adult Teen Challenge. And he's going across the state because we have a lot of hurting people. So without further ado, Teen Challenge Choir.
And it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah. And it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing, cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy when the valleys that I've wandered turn to mountains that I can't climb. Oh, you are with me, never leave me. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, 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 oh. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat, cause it's all you'll ever need, all you'll ever need. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat. All you'll ever need. No church choir singing in my soul. I got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Oh, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Amen. They sound good, right? It's pretty good. So to show you what a life can do when it's saved by Jesus, make you sing too. Amen. So this is the part of the service where we have individuals testify of the goodness of God. And And this is my favorite part, you know, because we read the scripture of Revelation that by, you know, they were saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We say that a lot, but do we understand it? Understand that what the blood of the Lamb, that's what our salvation. But the word of our testimony, what is that? That's the sustaining power that he has, because you don't understand is what you can say that's going to help an individual get through it. God didn't just tell the tribes to take the stones out and put them in the river to remember what they did. It was to remember what he did. So that's why we testify. That's why we talk about the goodness of the Lord. So this morning I'm going to have our student, Brian Hilaire. He's going to come up and he's going to testify about the goodness of the Lord. Come on.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Awesome. Good to hear that. Well, my name's Brian. I grew up in Long Island, New York, if you can't tell from my accent. Pretty much grew up with a Christian family and a Christian household. And I had a great life up until I started having an identity crisis like around middle school. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my purpose was. And I grew up with that, you know, pattern of thinking, which I really didn't have any sense of fulfillment. And it wasn't up until I went into high school where I really started questioning what my real purpose was, because I wasn't really, you know, getting into Christianity. I wasn't really getting into, you know, any type of religion or anything, because everything around me was just so against that. And so it was just, I was just chasing my tail around trying to find who I was. So I ended up getting affiliated with gangs. I ended up getting into drugs, and I ended up going down a dark road. And what it led me to, it led me to a five-year stretch where I ended up doing drugs, and up until I overdosed around last year, I didn't really find any hope. But my parents, they found that little spark of hope, and they referred me to Teen Challenge. And when I came into Teen Challenge, it totally transformed my life. Honestly, I honestly didn't know how this program was going to work. I didn't know anything about it, but my parents had faith in it, and they had hope in it through their church. So I came in. These guys welcomed me with open arms. I didn't really know how to really respond to anything, but as the months went by and as the days went on, I started growing closer in my relationship with Christ. I started growing my relationship closer with God. I started praying more. I started, you know, getting into my word more, and it taught me a lot about who I really am. I'm a disciple of God. And as the days flowed by, as the months flowed by, I really started seeing hope for myself. I really started developing a sense of peace that I didn't even feel before. And if it wasn't for this program, I wouldn't be talking to you guys right here and speaking. And honestly, I can't appreciate and thank these guys enough for all the love they show me and all the compassion they show me towards all my issues. Anytime I need to speak about something, there's always somebody here to talk to me about it, and it's a great program. And the scripture I stand on is Romans 12:2, which is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That way you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thank you.
Amen, amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song for you.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Thank you. Arrival's not the end game. The journey's where you are. You never want it perfect. You just want it my heart. And the story isn't over. My story isn't good. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Yeah. Prodigals come home. The helpless find hope. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Prison doors fling wide. The dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Miracles take place, the cynical find faith. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking, strongholds now are shaking. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Yeah. Lay your burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house.
Amen. Can we give them a hand as they go take their seats? Buffalo Adult and Teen Challenge Choir. So we're going to have one more testimony. And individual I have up here is proud of him. He's been through a lot. And he's going to testify of what it is. He's going to be graduating the entire program next week. Completion. And I'll let him share, but he's been through a lot. He's been through many things that should have pulled him out. He's been through many things that he should have just said, you know what, I can't do it anymore. But he's here. He persevered. So Joshua Dillard is going to testify about the goodness of God.
Thank you. Thank you, church. Yes, I'm Josh. I'm from Rochester, New York. I'm 33 years old, and just like my brother Brian, I was raised up in a church, single parent with two brothers and two sisters. And when I was young, my uncle, my dad's brother, he was gunned down in the streets, and not knowing how to deal with the tragedy, my dad started using drugs, and just throughout several years of just drinking and turning to drugs and just a dysfunctional home, my parents got a divorce, and I had to watch my mom raise five kids on her own. Praying and lovely mother she is, she did a great job. And my dad, he wasn't the type of father who, we only seen him during funerals and picnics and, you know, family outings. He wasn't the type of father that I would call and, you know, just on birthdays or see how, you know, me and my brothers and sisters was doing. And this made me feel empty inside and just trying to search for my identity. It started off when I was young, hanging around with the wrong people in high school. Started smoking weed, and my mom always told me, as she'd call it, marijuana is a gateway drug. And little did I know she was right. And throughout my whole college year, we led from marijuana, smoking weed, till drinking, and then I got heavy into cocaine. And I lost several jobs. I lost my car. I lost the trust, relationship with my girl. I was on the verge of separation, no place to live. Until my family, they sat me down, my brothers and sisters. We had a intervention. Yep. And my mom, she told me about this program, Adult and Teen Challenge. And as I cried with my family because I was lost and I didn't know where my life was headed, I picked up the phone and I called, not knowing that this place was going to change my life forever. Yep. And as I was greeted with the staff, it didn't matter who I was or where I came from, I wasn't judged. And this program taught me to surrender, lay everything here at the altar because I can't do it by myself. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And just being in this program just taught me a lot. It also taught me how to pray, not only for myself, but for my family and my loved ones. And God just revealed to me that it doesn't matter if my earthly father is not here, because God is my heavenly father, and he will not leave me or forsake me. Thank you, thank you. And just this program just humbled me. It just told me just to be patient and let God do his work in me. And as I was in the program, I talked to my mom over the phone as her voice was in shock. And she told me it was a miracle that took place in our family. After 25 years of my dad of backsliding, he finally gave his life back over to the Lord. Back over to the Lord. And it touched me because it hurt me not having a father figure grow up and not knowing who to turn to. But God showed me he's going to make a way. He's going to make a way. It doesn't matter how long, he's going to make a way. He will come through. He will come through. And like Josh said, I'll be graduating this week, this Friday. And I'm excited because I rekindled my relationship with my girl. And I'm going to tell you guys a secret. I'll be popping the big question this week to her. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. Just God just continuing to bless me. It's wonderful. And I'm going to end with my scripture of Galatians 2:20. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And I will live this life in faith, trusting in the Son of God who gave his life for me. Thank you, church.
It's amazing what the Lord can and will do with an individual that responds to the call that God has placed on our lives, because it is part of our responsibility to respond to the call that God has placed on our life. Unfortunately, there are times that we have interactions with people where they question why staff members in Teen Challenge do what we do. They formulate opinions and preconceived notions of why we wake up day to day and go to work and stay in the ministry. But I'm here to tell you this morning that testimonies like that is why I do what I do day in and day out for as long as I have. There's nothing better, there's nothing greater that you can experience in the world than watching an individual come to the ministry of Teen Challenge or coming just into relationship with the Lord, beat up, busted, hopeless, and broken, watch what God does in their lives, and then see them be released to be effective and instrumental in the kingdom of God to their sphere of influence. There's no greater thing to see other than that. Salvation, regeneration is the greatest work of the Holy Spirit, taking a heart that was dead, a heart of stone, and transforming it to a heart of flesh. There's nothing greater that man can witness other than that. Amen. So let's give it up one more time for the Buffalo Adult and Teen Challenge Men's Choir. My name is Dave Benyak, and I'm the program director of Buffalo Adult and Teen Challenge. And I know Josh already said it, but I'm just going to keep saying it. We're grateful for this church. We're grateful for Pastor Jeff and his wife Jody, and for your willingness to partner with us, not only as a ministry, but to labor beside us as instruments in the hand of God to see the kingdom of God expanded, to be able to reach every individual that we come into contact with. We're grateful. It's funny. I'm not going to share the whole story because I don't have a ton of time, but I took over as a director of Teen Challenge in Buffalo in 2017, and I remember I play in a men's hockey league, and we play late on Friday and Saturday. I know it's probably shocking that a dude this big could play hockey, but I do. You could ask the guy. No, I'm not a goalie. I play forward. You could ask the guys. You can ask the guys. They'll tell you. They've seen me play. So I was at the hockey rink. I had just taken over as the director of Buffalo Teen Challenge, and one of my buddies that plays hockey with me is the regional director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he does some of the same things that we do. He goes to different churches. He presents his ministry to gain support. And we do the same thing. So he was talking to me. He's like, "Well, you going to church tomorrow?" I said, "I'm going to some church out in the country, Pioneer Christian Fellowship." I said, "I really don't know much about it." I said, "We'll probably get out there. It'll be like 10 or 15 people here." Right? And I came that Sunday, and I was like, "Well, Lord, thank you for reassuring me that I should never judge a book by its cover." And so I'm being transparent with you guys, so please don't get mad at me, because what I'm going to tell you after that is this is the church that I have come to look forward to visiting more than any other church, and I will never say that anywhere else, because it's true here. We love coming here, walking through the doors, being greeted with the love and the affection that you guys have for the Men of Teen Challenge. Although you are not related by blood, we feel like family when we come here, and it's because we are the family of God. Amen? So forgive me. I still had a lot of New York-isms in me then when I first came up. The Lord's slowly doing a work in my life. All right, so although all aspects of the service have been great thus far, worship, word, the announcements, man, I know that list was long that you had to rattle off, but what that shows me is a church that is alive and willing to walk in what they've been called to walk in the kingdom of God. It's a blessing. The testimonies were great. The worship is great, but I have a word that I want to share with you guys this morning. And the title of my message, Jesse reminded me that it was Veterans Day after I shared with him the title of my message. The title of my message is Freedom. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. It is a familiar portion of Scripture, and I'm going to do my best to try to help everybody here this morning understand what it means to have freedom in Christ. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. The word of the Lord says, "Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" Lord, we're grateful. Go ahead, you can get excited about that before I pray. Go ahead, let me hear a shout for freedom. Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity that you have given us to come into your house freely today, Lord God, to worship you in spirit and truth and to sit under the hearing of your word. So I just pray for the next couple of moments that you will use me as a mouthpiece to articulate to your people the very thing that you would have them to hear today, Lord God. I pray that your spirit will go before the words to break up the ground in our hearts so that the seeds may fall on fertile soil. We bless you. We honor you. We give you all the glory and honor in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. So now this portion of Scripture is one that is often quoted when talking about the freedom that as men and women of God, we've been given the opportunity to experience in Christ as we pursue the call of God that He has placed on our life. Now, although it's a portion of Scripture that is often quoted and often spoken about, we hear lots of sermons on it, sometimes it's hard to fully understand what Jesus was trying to teach in this moment. So I'm going to do the best that I can over the next couple of moments to paint the picture for you so we could gain an adequate understanding of what it means to be free in Christ. Here in this portion of Scripture, Jesus is speaking to a group of Jews. Earlier in verse 3, he had a conflict with scribes and Pharisees, but now the conflict had widened to involve all of the people or the many who believed in him. So we're really not sure if it's a specific individual group of Jews that he's speaking to, but what we think is that it's just a more general group that he's addressing. These verses are a pivotal passage in understanding genuine salvation and true discipleship. John was emphasizing these realities by stressing both truth and freedom. The focus in this passage is upon those who are exercising the beginnings of faith in Jesus as both Messiah and Son of God. For most of these individuals, it was the first time that they heard the gospel message proclaimed. It was the first time that they experienced Jesus speaking. And in that moment, the Spirit of God was beginning to bear witness with their hearts that what he was speaking was the truth. But he wanted them to have a deeper understanding than what was just on the surface. Because how many people know that in certain circumstances and situations, parts of the gospel can be attractive. But then when we start to really learn what it means to be a follower of Christ, sometimes that scares us a little bit. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know if I'm about suffering for the furtherance of the gospel. I don't know if I'm about completely forsaking my old lifestyle to pursue the call of God. So Jesus wanted them to understand the totality of his message. He wanted them to move on and to grow in their faith. He wanted them to understand that saving faith isn't fickle and something that changes frequently, but it is firm and settled. Amen? Acts 16:31, it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's not you might be saved. After this, do A, B, C, and D, and you will be saved. It says if you place your faith in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Amen? So saving faith is rooted in the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross. As sure as we are about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, is as sure as we can be that faith is the means by which God breathes life into our dead hearts and raises us to the newness of life that we find in Christ Jesus. This maturity that Jesus is urging us to strive towards expresses itself. There's an expression of what this conviction in our hearts. There's a way that it manifests itself. And the way that it manifests itself is in full commitment to the truth in Jesus Christ. And that true commitment to the truth of Jesus Christ results in genuine, unadulterated freedom. In order to experience this genuine freedom, first and foremost, we need to be followers of Christ or disciples of Jesus Christ. I think I shared a word a couple of years ago here about the promises of God, and I talked about how entitlement tends to be an ugly word in the halls of Christianity. Because we're not to live entitled, but a part of being a child of God is the fact that we are entitled to stand firm upon the promises that God has made us in his word. His answer to us in all of his promises is what? It's yes and amen. That's something that we're entitled to, that we're privileged to as children of God. And freedom is something that we're entitled to as children of God as well. But the first step of experiencing that freedom and being a disciple of Jesus Christ is belief, like I said, in Jesus Christ as both the Messiah and the Son of God. In verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you truly are my disciples. And this leads us to the second step in becoming a disciple. So first, you place your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you commit yourself to walking in obedience to the word of God, which is the second step in becoming a disciple. So it just doesn't end at believe. It's not just believe and then sit there and do nothing. We are required to walk in obedience to what God has called us to do. And it's important that we understand something, that doesn't mean that we use God as a genie in a bottle to get us out of a jam, and then every now and then when we want him to co-sign our plans in life, we shoot up a couple of prayers and hope that he responds. What we need to commit in our hearts is that we're going to live for the Lord regardless of where that takes us and what that call looks like. So that's where it does become a little scary, because the truth is we are creatures of habits and we want to do what makes us comfortable, but God will call us out of that comfortability so that he can use us in the capacity that he desires to use us in. And the reason that he does that is so that when other people look at us, they'll know that it is by the power of God and only the power of God that we're able to accomplish what we are accomplishing, right? Look at me, I'm preaching the gospel. 13 years ago, I was a heroin addict. I mean, I ain't got really anything else to say other than that. 13 years ago, I was a heroin addict. Today, the Lord uses me to preach the gospel by his grace, for his glory. So it doesn't just end at belief. We're then required to walk in what we claim to believe or what we have been called to walk in by God. Jesus used the word abide, which means to habitually abide in Jesus' words. A genuine true follower of Christ holds fast, obeys, and practices Jesus' teaching. It means that we make a commitment to follow Christ, and then we follow through that with that commitment, regardless of what follows or what curveballs life may throw at us. It means counting the cost of being a Christ follower and picking up our cross daily and following Jesus. It is then, when we live a life abiding in the words of Christ, we're then able to experience the freedom that is promised to us as children of God. So before I get into a couple of things that we can live free from as Christians, I just want to look at the word freedom that John uses in this portion of Scripture. The Greek word in our text, which is rendered freedom, you need to listen to this, aligns itself with the idea of being unencumbered or free from a burden. It's not so much freedom for as it is freedom from. Freedom is having the liberty to do or to omit things that have no relationship to salvation. True liberty is living as we should and not only as we please. And in Christ, we have been given the power to do that very thing. The world teaches us that freedom is the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want, when the Bible teaches us that freedom is having the ability to live free from sin in the pursuit of Christ, the way that he has created us to do so. So amen. Yeah, so what happens is there's a little bit of gray area there. Individuals become saved and they think, oh, wow, you know, now I can live the way that I want to live without having to worry about any type of consequences for that. And that's not what the teaching of freedom is. It is freedom to live the way that you should be living as a follower of Christ. And I'm going to talk about now three things. Now that we understand what freedom is and what Jesus was saying to the individuals that were listening or to us, I want to talk about three things as Christians that we have been afforded the opportunity to live free from. The first thing is freedom from sin. Yeah, we should get a little bit more excited about that, folks. Freedom from sin. In verse 34 of our text, Jesus tells those that are listening to them that everyone who commits a sin is indeed a slave to sin. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin." Now, sin can be defined as any thought, action, or attitude that falls short of God's holiness. Sin has many layers. There are specific actions or thoughts which are sinful. We know that murder, adultery, and theft our sins. Jesus tells us that even the desire to commit murder, adultery, and theft are also sins. But sins go deeper than that. We commit sins because we are sinners. Since Adam first sinned in the Garden of Eden, Every person born has inherited a sin nature from him. We cannot help but sin because it is in our nature to do so. When you look at the birds don't have to be taught how to build a nest and to keep their eggs warm. It's her nature to do so. A baby doesn't have to be taught to be selfish and demanding. That comes naturally. I'm walking through that now. I have a little bit older than a two-year-old and a six-month-old. A six-month-old ain't that bad, right? And not that my two-year-old is bad, but there's a reason that they call them the terrible twos. I'm pretty sure other than mama and dad that no was the next. She says mo. She can't say no. She says mo. I'm pretty sure that was the third word that she learned. I said, I don't understand how she learned that, right? But thank God for the sanctification process of both marriage and being a parent. Every parent in here should be able to say amen to that. So it says a baby does not have to be taught to be selfish. That comes naturally. However, we weren't created to be sinful. Yes, that is a result of the fall, and that is a result of being, that is a result of our first father, Adam. But we were designed by God in his own image. Humanity is his masterpiece. We were designed to live in fellowship with our Creator, but because of sin, we cannot enter into his presence. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all of the sins of the world. And by taking the punishment for our sin, he canceled the debt that each of us owes to God. He also reversed the curse of our old natures, which keeps us enslaved to sinful passions and desires. Before we meet Christ, we are enslaved by that sin nature. But at the moment of conversion, we are given a new nature that has been set free from sin. It's instantaneous. The minute that we place our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we stand justified by faith before God, that old nature is laid to waste, and we're given a new nature by God. The entire chapter of Romans 6 explains this in detail. Verse 14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." To be free from sin means that those who have made Jesus the Lord of their lives are no longer enslaved by sin. And you have to understand that I'm not a perfectionist. I don't believe that once an individual becomes saved that they no longer commit sins. We absolutely do. But we no longer live under the reign and rule of sin, and we are no longer slaves to sin. God has given us the ability to reign and rule over our sin and to be slaves of righteousness. There's a reality that we need to learn to understand. I heard someone articulate it a couple of weeks ago at a men's conference. He said, the reason why we choose to sin is because we love our sin more than we love God. And in that moment, my heart was just apprehended by conviction, because that's the truth. And the truth is every time that we sin and we blame it on our nature, we're copping out, because God has given us the ability to reign and rule over our sin. And we need to walk in that. We need to walk in what God has given us, the ability to live righteously and to reign and rule over our sin. Yeah, there are times that we fall into sin, that we fall victim to temptation, but there should not be habitual and reoccurring sin in the lives of individuals that have been set free and transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is something that we've been given by God. That's a freedom that we are entitled to as men and women of God. So to be free from sin means that sin no longer wields the power it once did. The stranglehold of selfishness, greed, and lust has been broken. Freedom from sin allows us to offer ourselves as willing slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ, who continues to work in us to make us more like him. So in Christ, we have the ability to live free from sin. And the second one is probably the toughest one. We have the ability to live free from self. In his letter to the church in Galatia, the Apostle Paul in chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." It's the cosmic shift that takes place in the kingdom of God. In the world, we got to get ours. And the only people that we're interested in is people that can do for us. And I epitomize that in my drug addiction. Drug addiction is one of the most selfish lifestyles that an individual can choose to live. It's because we're putting what we want above the cares and concerns of everybody in our lives. But the truth is Christ has set us free so that we could use that freedom to glorify him through the service of others. One of the greatest things that we have been liberated from is ourselves. It is the bondage to selfish, self-centered, and prideful thinking and actions that leads us into deep despair. The greatest illusion that plagues the human race is that we are good apart from God. The Bible tells us that there is no one that is good except for God, but that's what we believe, and you hear it all the time. I hear it in Teen Challenge often. We get people that call us and say, hey, listen, my boy, he needs help. You know, he just robbed his grandmother and beat up his neighbor and left him on the side of the road and took every penny he had. And then he went to jail and he beat up another inmate in jail and he just got 2 years tacked onto his sentence. But he's a good boy. He's not. I'm sorry, he's not. He needs Jesus. Right, he needs to be pointed to the only one who is good so he can learn to live the way that he ought to live. So the greatest illusion that plagues the human race is that we are good apart from God. Armed with that type of mindset, we go about life seeking our own opinion on how to live a righteous life. Our goal is to be happy when God's goal for our life is to bring glory to his name. It puts us on a collision course with emptiness and misguided and unpurposeful living. The very thing that we think will bring us great and lasting joy will only prove itself to be incapable of delivering what it promised. The only true and lasting freedom is obedience to the word of God. Christ beckons us to be obedient to him. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And here's the thing, it's when I first got saved, I thought the same thing. I said, what is God on some type of ego trip? You know what I'm saying? He saved me, and now I just have this list of things that I can and cannot do. But that's not why God gives us those commands. God gives us these commands because he knows what is good for us. I had to have a reality check when I came to Teen Challenge. Fellas, you're not going to like hearing this. It's the same thing that I had to realize. Is my best decision making as a 24-year-old man got me to a place where I needed the ministry of Teen Challenge, where I had men of God telling me what I should do on a day in, day out basis. My best decision making in life brought me to a place as a 24-year-old man where I had a needle hanging out of my arm and I laid death and destruction to everything I touched. But I had to realize that, because when I realized that my decision-making was poor, but that God had brought me to a place and aligned me with men that had walked through the same thing that I walked through, that helped me surrender. That helped me get to a place where I realized, hey, there are some people here that could sow into my life. And instead of looking at the authority that was established in my life in a negative way, I began to embrace it, because I knew that God had set that up in my life to help me. Because the truth is we don't know what's best, but God does. He knows what is good for us, and like any good parent, he is telling us to do these things because he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't. It is the liberty that we have been given as believers to be obedient and submissive to the word of God. Even if I don't understand the whys and the hows, because nowhere in the entire word of God does God promise that you will understand the reason why you go through every circumstance and situation that we go to. In Habakkuk, when the prophet was crying out and asking why God was allowing a pagan nation to lay ruin to the people of God, he said, look around and wonder and be astounded, for I'm doing a work in your day that you would not believe it if you were told. So what he's saying is you can ask how and why, but don't get mad when he doesn't answer you, because the truth is you might not be able to even understand what he's doing through your circumstance and situation, but we are called as men and women of God to walk by faith through the very thing in which God lays before us. before us, knowing that his good ought to be our good because his good is far better than any good we could ever ask or imagine. And that's why God has given us his commands. So we have the ability to live free from sin. We have the ability to live free from self. And then the last thing we have the ability to live free from is returning to our past. Amen. Eternally. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Paul established the church in Galatia, but he had moved on. He then received word that certain Jewish Christians were trying to persuade Galatian Christians to observe Jewish laws and rituals, including circumcision and the observance of days, months, seasons, and years. They were called Judaizers. This was the greatest heresy that plagued the early church, is they were Jewish individuals that were exercising saving faith in Christ, but they were teaching non-Jewish believers that they had to obey some rituals that the Jewish people believed in order to be justified before the Lord. This was the Apostle Paul's greatest thorn in his side. I don't know if it's the thorn, but this was a thorn that the Apostle Paul faced in the establishment of the early church. Paul writes this letter to persuade the Galatian Christians not to adopt these unnecessary practices. Their righteousness depends not on observance of Jewish law, but upon the grace of God made manifest through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul's point is that the Mosaic law was given by God as a tutor to guide the Israelites, emphasizing salvation by merit. When Christ came, the emphasis changed to salvation by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And you have to understand that the difference between the two is life-changing. The law, which comprised of 613 commandments, explained in great detail what a person could or could not do. Even the most pious of men would fail to keep the entire law and will fall short of the standard set by God. 613 commandments. It was an impossible situation. But Christ set us free by subjecting us to the rule of grace rather than the rule of law. He too gave us commandments, but John 1:14 tells us that Jesus was full of grace, meaning that transgressors who are also believers, us, can expect the blood of Christ to make them whole in God's sight. It's not what we do on a day-to-day basis that puts us in right standing with God. We stand before the Lord in right standing with him, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. He perfectly upheld the law so we can live in right relationship with God. Salvation is apart from works. It's by the grace of God. It is a free gift of God, free to us. But it cost Jesus his life and it cost God the life of his son. Amen? So it's not by works, it's by faith that we are saved. The grace of God and freedom that we have in Christ gives us the ability that we need to live a life free from the bondage of sin. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20 that we have been crucified with Christ. The book of Romans tells us over 30 times that the old man is dead and that our old self was crucified. Dead, dead, dead. That is what the old man is. It's dead. And we need to know that. And we need to live in the newness that God has given us. But unfortunately, there's an issue that plagues the church. We find ourselves still being haunted by what appears to be our old man. Some people end up their entire lives kicking around a corpse or wrestling a carcass, wasting their energy on an enemy that has already died instead of walking in the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Stop dragging that thing around. Let it be dead. Just because something was a part of the life that you have been set free from, it is a lie from the pit of hell to think that you have to carry that with you into your new life in Christ. Josh, man, when you were speaking and up here as I'm ministering, Josh is getting ready to break that generational curse of living without a father. He's leaving Teen Challenge. He's gonna do the right thing, and he's gonna ask his girl and his baby's mother to marry him because he knows that's what he's need to do. And he's gonna go home and he's gonna be a father. Because he knows what it's like not growing up with an earthly father. He's not gonna carry that part of the dead man into his new life. He's not gonna use it as an excuse to live a life of sin. It's dead. He's letting it stay dead, and he's going to walk in the newness of life that God has given him. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. If there is hints of the old man, we need to recognize it, and by faith, we need to lay ruin to it. Because if not, that very thing that we allow to stay attached to us and we got to drag around will be the very thing that pulls us down from the call and commission of God in our lives. We will forever struggle with it if we don't make a decision to walk in victory over it. Amen? So in closing, I'm here to tell you today that we never have to return to the lifestyle that we have been set free from. If we live a life in the pursuit of Jesus, we never have to worry about, listen to what I'm saying, if you live a life in the pursuit of Jesus, unadulterated pursuit of Jesus, not flesh, not self, with Jesus co-signing your plans. You have to be sold out for the call and commission of God. And as you do that, you will never have to worry about the old man being brought back to life. And you could walk in the newness of life that has been given to us. In Christ, the child of God has the ability to live selflessly, free from the reign and rule of sin, and without fear of returning to the lifestyle that we have been set free from. Bishop J.C. Ryle closes his thoughts on this portion of Scripture in his expository thoughts on the Gospel of John with an encouragement. If you've never read J.C. Ryle, I recommend you doing it. Some of the books that I've read by him have been what God has used to radically transform my life. But what he says is, let us never rest until we have some personal experience of this freedom ourselves. Without it, all other freedom is a worthless privilege. Free speech, free laws, political freedom, commercial freedom, national freedom, all these cannot smooth down a dying pillow or disarm death of his sting or fill our conscience with peace. Nothing can do that but the freedom which Christ alone bestows. He gives it freely to all who seek it humbly. Let us never rest until this freedom is our own. Amen. Right? So, Pastor would like me to pray. Is there anything in specific that you would like me to pray for, Pastor? Amen. My hope is the truth is I know that it's hard sometimes to fully understand why we need to walk in the freedom that Christ has for us. It sounds good, it sounds amazing, but then when we recognize the legwork that's required to experience it, yes, salvation is by faith and it happens in an instant, but there are certain things that we got to grind out as Christians. There are certain things that we got to grind out, but if you ask any man or woman of God that has served the Lord for a sustained period of time, they'll tell you that grind was worth it. And I know that I'm a lot younger than a lot of people here. But I've been serving the Lord. God got a hold of my life when I was 24 years old. And choosing to live for the Lord instead of living for myself was a difficult decision that I had to make, that I still continue to have to make. But 13 years later, there isn't anything else in the world that I would rather do than live for the call and commission of God. And I know that there are older saints in here that would testify of the same thing. I tell the guys in Teen Challenge, the faithfulness of God is something that completely and utterly blows my mind. And the truth is if you have never experienced the faithfulness of God, if you can't stand up and raise your hands and worship the Lord as we sing about his faithfulness, it's because you have never given an opportunity to prove himself faithful to you. So give God an opportunity to prove himself faithful to you. Give yourselves an opportunity to experience the freedom, the unadulterated freedom that is available in your relationship with Jesus Christ, because I promise you, you will never be disappointed. Lord, we're grateful for
your word, Lord God. We're grateful that you have given us your word so that as your children we could sit under the hearing of your word. We know that your word is life, that your word has power, your word never returns void, Lord God. We know that your word accomplishes that which it has set forth to accomplish, Lord God. So I just pray that this word that has gone forth this morning will resonate deep inside of our hearts, Lord God, that you will use it to expose things in our hearts that need to be changed so that we could walk in the process of being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I pray that if there is anybody here this morning that hears about the freedom that is available in Christ and longs for it, will make that decision to walk, to grind out the call of God on their lives so that they could live in total freedom as a child of God. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to gather here this morning. And we pray that you'll just do a work in our lives, Lord God, that when we leave this place, we will not be the same as we came in. We bless you and honor you, and we ask that you'll have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Couple of things. Do you have enough staff with you? I know you're going to be manning the table out in the back. Do you have a few others that could pray for people as we break now? And I just want to say, I feel like there's an anointing on these guys this morning to pray for some of us. So I'm just going to ask that some of them would be available as we dismiss. And if you need prayer, if you need some ministry over your life, here are some guys that are duly anointed to do so. The second thing I was thinking, I felt like the Lord put on my heart, can we say as a church, we will take care of that bathroom thing for you guys? Can we just say that? Whatever that needs to happen, we'll take care of it. And so whatever that is. All right. So to initiate that, we're gonna have some baskets up here. We'll just have some baskets. We'll have them right up here in the front of the platform. If you would like to start blessing them, with giving them the resources for, they've already told you that as a church we support them on an ongoing basis. So this has nothing to do with that. We're going to continue to do that, but we want to make their burden lighter, a little lighter. And if you would like to give something to help offset the cost of that, there'll be some baskets up here and available. So the Lord, why don't we just stand together? Thank you for coming, guys. Whenever you guys come, you blow a fresh wind into this place. Your life is contagious, and we're thankful to God for that.